shown this religion fathers. He granted in this timing, he's shown us guidance. This guidance has not been shown to the non-Muslim yet, hence he is non-Muslim. But to us it has been shown, and we wholeheartedly, we open-heartedly accepted this message, hence we are Muslims today, because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many people out there who are not Muslim. Why are they not Muslim? Not because they don't choose to be Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want them to be Muslims just yet. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us many, many favors, many, many bounties. But this is the biggest favor of them all. This shahada, this kalima, and this faith, and this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His message sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now today I would like to be highlighting a problem that we face today, and also inshallah the Islamic solution and the way to tackle this problem, the way to confront this problem. The problem today is the problem of sin. Now what is sin? The Messenger of Allah said, وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ وَقَرَيْتَ أَنْ يَتْبَيَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. He said two things about sin. He said number one, sin is that action, it is that deed, it is that action that when a person commits it, he feels bad, he feels wrong, and he feels from inside that he has done something that he shouldn't have been doing. And number two, the Messenger said that not himself or even if other people were to find out about the action that he has committed, then this person will also dislike that feeling. This feeling is not going to be a good feeling. So he has broken the law of Allah, hence he feels guilty himself, and also he will dislike and it will displease the other people in the community, whether it be his friends or his family, find out that he has committed this sin. Now the problem we have today, my brothers, is that we are committing day by day, we are committing on regular occasions, we are committing occasionally, we are committing in big numbers, but we don't get this feeling, we don't have a self-conscious that stops us, nor do other people's views and opinions have any effect on it or on our action. Why is this? Well, the Messenger Islam has also mentioned in another hadith that when a person commits a sin, when he commits one sin, then there's one black dot that appears on the heart. Now when a person commits another sin, then another black dot appears in the heart. And the person keeps on sinning, without removing the effects and the harmful effects of that sin, then his heart becomes black and it becomes dirty and it becomes rusty. That's why when a person comes to the masajid of Allah, he doesn't feel that spirituality that he should be feeling. When he listens to the message of Allah being delivered, he doesn't feel that spirituality that he should be feeling. When he listens to the Holy Quran, or when he even recites the blessed words of Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no effect on him whatsoever. Why? It's because his heart becomes so black that nothing will penetrate through it. Nothing will go inside it. Now there was a scholar, Faqih Abu al-Layth Samarqandi, a 3rd century scholar. He mentions in Tanbih al-Ghafilin, he mentions many sins, and he talks about so many different sins. Then he highlights one sin in particular, and he makes mention of it. The sin of fornication, the sin of zina, the sin of adultery. He says that this thing is so evil, so wrong and so bad, that not only in the nation, in our nation, not only in the Quran, but this sin was so bad that it was prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited this act in all nations, in all previous religious scriptures, whether that be the Injil, the Bible, the Torah or the Zabur, all religious scriptures that were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah prohibited and stopped people from this sin. And then he mentioned the hadith, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ مَزْزِنَا فَإِنَّا فِيهِ سِبْتَةُ الْخِصَالِ فَثَلَاثَةٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَثَلَاثَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He says that the Messenger alayhi salam has said, abstain from the sin of zina. He said, abstain from the sin of zina. Zina has 6 evils, 6 harms and 6 disadvantages. 3 in this world and 3 in the year after. The 3 in this world is number 1. That nur and that special light that you see on a believer's face is taken away from the fornicator, from a person who acts on this thing. That there is no light left on his face becomes dark, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away this nur away from his face. Number 2,
he becomes a victim of people's anger and hatred. People start to dislike him. People automatically from inside develop a hatred towards this individual who is committing this bad and evil act. And number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lessens and minimizes his provisions and his income. This is why you see, my brothers, so a lot of people have got high incomes, but on the other hand, they have also got high outcomes as well, and in neutralizes. They are making so much money, but it's going to the wrong places. This is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the barakah. He takes away his special assistance with those people who do wrong. This is why a person can earn $100 a week. $100 a week, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in his money, inshallah that $100 will be like $1,000 to him. But on the other hand, you have an individual who earns $1,000 a week. He earns $1,000 a week, but his acts are evil. He breaks, violates, and he goes against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the barakah, and that $1,000 he spends, and he doesn't know where all that money is going. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us abstain from these, from this wretched and this evil act. Now we also, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah, a very big scholar from the Indian subcontinent, he makes mention of two big sins. He says there are many sins, but there are two big sins upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enraged war upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sins, and there are two sins in particular upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you act upon this sin, then I am at war with you. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the sin of interest, whether it be accepting interest, whether it be giving interest, or whether it be witnessing these transactions taking place. This is why the scholars say if a person can, he should avoid working in the banks. Why? Because he is witnessing the transactions of interest being taken place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stopped us from taking interest, from receiving and giving interest, and he makes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you go against what I say, then I challenge you, you are at war with me. And then number two, the same mentioned in the hadith, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enraged war upon, man aza li waliyya faqad azamtuhu bil harb. The Messenger of Islam said, whoever troubles the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself declares war upon these individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us stay away from these sins. Now, like I mentioned, sinning is the problem. What is the cure for this problem? Well, Islam has shown us the problem, it has always shown us the way and the solutions and how to confront these problems. There is something called Tawbah. Tawbah in Arabic, Tawbah Yatubu means to turn. So Tubtu, if I say Tubtu, I mean to say that I have turned. So in a literal meaning, Tawbah means to turn. And when a person in Islam is Tawbah from his sins, it means that he's turning from his sins and he's turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. And just listen to the story, inshallah, that I'm going to talk about in regards to people repenting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Messenger of Islam said that when a person does tawbah, the doors of tawbah are so wide that they start from the east and they end at the west. Meaning a person can do tawbah at almost any time of his life. But let me tell you one thing, my brothers, there are two times when this tawbah, the laws of tawbah are closed. Number one, the Messenger of Islam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ مَا لَمْ يُغَفِّرْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept a repentance of a person who repents and who does tawbah until death hits him. Yughargir means when the soul is at the halaq, it is at the throat and when it is about to come out. If a person does tawbah on his deathbed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept this tawbah from this person. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he will accept tawbah until when the sun will rise from the east. from the West, sorry, one of the biggest and one of the final signs of the Day of Judgment is that when the sun will rise from the west instead of the east. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this time, He will not accept no one's tawbah. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi and Muslim. Now, so like we were saying about tawbah, the Messenger of Allah said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The Messenger of Allah said, every single individual is a sinner. Every single person, he's by nature, he is prone to sin. This is a person's nature that he will go towards wrong, he will do wrong things. But the Messenger of Allah said, the best people are who? At-Tawwabun. The word in Arabic is At-Ta'id, but Al-Ismu al-Mubarakah, At-Tawwabun. Those people who keep repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people on regular occasions, they don't repent once a day, they don't repent once a week. Occasionally, after every salah, after every surah, they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best thing is, my brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He removes, He eradicates the evil and harmful effects of sins, whether it be in this world or whether it be in the hereafter. That the Messenger of Allah said, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanb kaman la dhanb lah." The person who repents from his sin, you have been sinning all your life, you have been committing wrong and evil and harmful actions all your life, but the moment you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be like that person who didn't even commit sin in the first place. You will be clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean and bless you. So another hadith, the Messenger of Allah said, وَأَتْبِهُ الْحَسَنَاتَ أَلْتَيِّئَةَ تَمْتُهَا. That he said, follow for bad deeds with good deeds, this will remove and eradicate the harmful effect. The Quranic ayat, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَن يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. That this Quranic ayat, the verse means that those people who committed wrong sins, this is the time of the Messenger of Allah, that those people who committed wrong, and then أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, that when you do wrong, when you break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not affecting or you're not threatening Allah, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, you are wronging yourself. When you do wrong, you're wronging yourselves. When you do good, you are being good to yourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our good actions or our bad actions. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatness, this is how powerful Allah the Almighty is. So anyhow, the Quran ayat, when this was revealed, that those people who do wrong, but then they remember Allah, zakarullah, they remember Allah, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their sins. What does Allah do? Allah says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Who will forgive the sins? Allah will forgive the sins. Allah forgives all these sins. And when these verses were revealed, the shaitan, the curse, Satan, the devil, he cried. Why did he cry? Well, let me tell you this, my brother. Shaitan, he works all day and he works all night. His job is to mislead humanity, especially the Muslims. That's why he attacks the Muslims more. He doesn't attack the non-Muslims as much. Why? Because the non-Muslims are not on guidance, whereas we, the Muslims, are on guidance, so we are more of a threat to him, so he attacks us more. So what he does all day, he works, he tells us to do wrong, he shows us the world to be beautiful and attractive, and he tells us to do all these wrong things. And even at night he works, if he's working when we go sleep, how can he be working? When my brothers, when we go sleep and we have bad dreams, well, bad dreams are from shaitan. At night, sometimes we can't sleep, this is also from shaitan. That's why they say we should remember Allah, we should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we go sleep. Inshallah, this is helpful in our sleep. So shaitan work. And when these verses were revealed, the conclusion and the summary of these verses are that if you do wrong all your life, and you just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which takes one moment to turn towards Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all those sins. So shaitan has been working for 60 years, 70 years, and in the last minute, if a Muslim, he does tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 60 years of sin. So Shaitan has wasted, he has wasted 60 years and 60 years and he has got nothing out of it. Shaitan's job is for us to go into Jahannam aliyaz billah. His job is to stop us to go into Jannah. And now if he has been working for 60 years non-stop, he has been working without. He doesn't take no days off for rest. And when a person, a Muslim, with sincerity and with ikhlas, he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that one moment could be enough to suffice for the 60, 70 years. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would say about this ayah, هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ خَيْرٌ لِأَحْلِ الذُّنُوبِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. That this Quranic ayah is the best thing for sinners. It is better than the world and everything it contains in it. So likewise, there were those individuals at the time of the Messenger alayhi salam, they had sinned all their lives. They had sinned so much to such an extent that there was a time when they thought to themselves that we will never be forgiven. They thought to themselves that we will never ever be forgiven. We have wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too much, and we have just done too much. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive us. The Quranic ayat was revealed. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that tell these people who have wronged themselves. Remember, we are wronging ourselves, we are not wronging Allah. أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That those people who have wronged themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that don't be hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't be hopeless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the all merciful. Allah will, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ. Allah can, and Allah inshallah will forgive all your sins, no matter how big they are, no matter how bad you think these sins are. And also one last thing regarding sins I would like to mention is that the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was so honored and so privileged that straight after he was created, he was put into paradise. There were no tests for him, there were no troubles he had to undergo, there was nothing that he, there were no afflictions basically, but we have to come to this world, we have to work for our jannah. Adam alayhi salam was honored to such levels that he was automatically entered to paradise. And there were no laws, there were no legislation, there was nothing of the kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Jannah is so vast that you carry on exploring, you carry on exploring, it will take you eternity, but Jannah will never finish. This is how big Jannah is. But he said there is one rule, please follow this one rule. He said, لَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ. He said, don't go near this tree. Anything else you do, you want to go and relax and enjoy yourselves, go ahead, but don't go near this tree. Adam alayhi salam did that one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't do. Adam alayhi salam went to this tree. Now this is all predestined, obviously. Adam alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all messengers are free from sin. But this was a mistake, you can say. Hasanat al-Abrar min Sayyat al-Muqarrabin. The closer you are to someone, and then the more, you know, the more you think about, you know, doing wrong stuff. So when, for example, a son to his father has a different relationship from a stranger to another stranger. So likewise, when the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they err or when they make mistakes, these mistakes are not sins. Why? Because the messengers of Allah are free from sin. These are mistakes, these are predestined orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us, mankind, what to do when someone does go on the wrong path and when someone does slip away. Anyways, when Adam alayhi salam made this mistake, he felt remorseful and regretful, he turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he never knew what to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being all merciful, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ وَالتَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself taught Adam alayhi salam the words of repentance. He taught Adam alayhi salam what to say and how to say it. Adam alayhi salam did as Allah told him to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his sin, and it was as if he didn't even commit that sin. Now, because of that we came to this world, but the scholars write there is wisdom in also us not coming to this world. How? When we see this world, and when we see Jannah inshallah, we will realize what we were chasing, and what we have, and what Allah has in store for us. You know, for example, we have been to the third world country. when those people that come from the third world countries to this country, they realize how luxurious, how good, and how, you know, how nice of a place this country actually is. But for those individuals who have not seen hardship, who have not seen troubles and worries, they don't realize, you know, they don't see the difference. That's why Arabic they say, they're saying that at-tazadu yatabayyan ash-shay'a, opposites, when you see opposites, when you see two opposite things, that's only when you realize the importance and the value of something. So we have come to this world, we see the troubles, the hardships of this world, then inshallah when we see the beauty of Jannah, then we realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us to work for. Just one last point to mention when it comes to the chapter of repentance and tawbah, there are some conditions that is the criteria of doing tawbah. Imam Nawawi, big scholars, Ibn Hajar, they write that there are three conditions for a person to repent. If you are sincere in your repentance, you have to follow these three conditions, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the all-merciful, the all-forgiving, He will forgive our sins. Number one, a person must fear, remorseful, and regretful. In the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he did wrong and he felt remorseful. In the story of those people that sinned all their lives, when Allah revealed their verses, وَلْيَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا, and they were only revealed for them. The interpreters and the commentators of the Qafir say, الْإِبْرَةُ لِأُمُومِ اللَّبْلَى بِخُسُوسِ السَّبْحِ. The Quranic ayahs were revealed not only for that certain time, but rather they were revealed until eternity, until the day of judgment. It is a lesson for all of us. So number one, a person must feel remorseful and regretful. He should acknowledge the sin to be sin. Number two, a person must leave that thing immediately, instantly. He should leave that thing. If he's repenting, he should say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've left this thing. Whether it be drinking, whether it be stealing or talking bad about one another, he should let go of that thing. And number three, my brothers, the condition is that he should make firm intention that he's never going to return to this sin ever again. Firm intention. And the scholars write, fourth condition also, when a person wronged his Muslim brother, then he should also ask forgiveness from him. These are when you violated the laws of Allah. But the humans also have laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, religious is so beautiful that he didn't forget human rights. There are also animal rights, there are so many rights, but we have to know. So there is human rights. If we have wronged someone by saying wrong to them in front of their absence or in their presence, we should ask forgiveness from them. Whether they forgive us or not, that is up to Allah. That would be between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have fulfilled your duty and your right. If you have taken something of someone, you have to give it back to them, or either ask forgiveness from this individual. And then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will forgive us. But there are a few points I would like to mention, that if a person sins with the intention that he will repent later on in life, if he thinks to say, I have this weapon, I have this utility of repentance and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will repent in 10 years' time, then he sin for 10 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept such repentance from such people. Either he will not give you the ability, you might even pass away, you might even die before that time comes. Hazrat Luqman al-Hakim said to his children when he was on his deathbed, لا تؤخر التوبة فإن التوبة إن الموت قد يأتي بغتة. Now don't ever be under the misconception of delaying repentance, for death can come instantly. Death will not ask when it comes to your door. It will not come knocking and it will not ask you permission. And when it does come, may it not be that it's too late to repent. Number two, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the repentance of that sinner who commits sin, thinking that this sin is nothing, it is a small thing. This is nothing, it doesn't matter, I don't care. And he takes this sin to be light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also doesn't forgive this sinner. And number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive that person who does sin, thinking that this isn't a sin. He justifies his wrong action, whether it be consuming incest or consuming alcohol or anything like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly prohibited us the humans to abstain from these actions, and if we go around making them lawful, then not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reject us, but the scholars write that this person has entered the fold of disbelief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts.
Amma Ba'd. So you mentioned the importance of repentance, and that every person can repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no certain, only just a certain group of people who can repent. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, religion is so beautiful that it is open for all individuals of society. So I'm now moving on, and this is a good time for us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this is the month of Ramadan. And like we mentioned, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانُ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَهَنَّةِ. That when Ramadan comes, when the month of Ramadan comes, then the doors of paradise are opened up, the doors of hell are closed, and وَزُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the devils are chained up. So this is more of a reason for us to turn, to incline towards the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Messenger alayhi salam said that this month, أَفْضَلُهُ رَحْمَةً وَنِسْفُهُ وَشَكْرُهُ مَغْفِرَةً وَآخِرُهُ الْعِشْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The first 10 days are the 10 days of mercy, the second 10 days are the 10 days of forgiveness, and the third 10 days are to save yourself from the fire of hell. رواه ابن قدامة أبو البيهقي. So the Messenger is telling us that these are precious days, these are golden days. We should take full advantage of. We should take full advantage in turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the best opportunity for us to do so. And it doesn't matter how bad we are. We should just make firm intentions, leave our wrongdoings and we acknowledge that we just done wrong. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors for us. Now also this is the month of the Qur'an, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانُ مُنْزِرَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ بِالْإِنَاسِ مِنْ رَمَضَى وَالْقُرْبَانِ. That this is the month of Qur'an. And not only that, my brothers, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was also one of the mightiest messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he received his religious scriptures, he also received them in this month. Hazrat Isa, Jesus, Hazrat Dawood, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he received the Torah, Injil, Zabur, they were all received, they were all revealed in this month. This is why the scholars write there is a special attachment between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's books and this month. Why? Because when this month comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing his scriptures to his messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing his religious scriptures. So there is a special attachment between the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this month. That's why we should try to increase the recitation of our dhikr. The Messenger alayhi salam has said, مَا مِن شَفِيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مَنْزِلَةٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ لَا نَبِيْءٍ وَلَا مَلَكٍ. The Messenger alayhi salam has said, on the day of judgment, when people will be in need, when people will be in most need of intercession, then he says the Qur'an will be the biggest intercessor. It will be bigger than all messengers. It will be bigger than all the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, the Messenger alayhi salam, the Qur'an is such an intercessor that its intercession will never get rejected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to the Qur'an. The Qur'an will speak. The Messenger alayhi salam, the Iqra al Qur'an, فَإِنَّهُ شَفِيعُ الْيَسْحَابِ. They recite the Qur'an, but the Qur'an is the intercessor. It will be given intercession on the day of judgment. The Messenger alayhi salam has said also in the hadith, that من سره أن يحب الله ورسوله فله فليقرأ في المصحف. رواه الشامي. That whoever wants the pleasure of Allah and His Messenger, then tell him to exceed and tend to increase the recitation of the Holy Quran. The Messenger عليه السلام said, ما من شفيع بعد أداء الفرائض أحب إلى الله من قراءة القرآن أتلوه فإن الله يؤجلكم على تلاوته. The Messenger عليه السلام said, after the obligatory and the prescribed act, after the faraid, the best action in Islam is to recite the Quran. Is to recite the Quran. The Messenger alayhi salam said, لِكُلِّ حَدْفٍ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ أَمَا أُنِّي لَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ.
or kama qal. Messenger Ali Salam said to recite the Quran, to recite one neck of the Quran, it was equal to 10 divans. And Messenger Ali Salam, he further explains what he means by letter. He says, Alif Lam Meen is not one letter. He says, Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, and Meen is one letter. If a person just recites these three letters, he automatically receives 30 rewards. Now, as well as reading, listening is also the Sunnah of the Messenger Alayhi Salaam. The Messenger Alayhi Salaam said, whoever listens to one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him rewards as his chiefs are increasing, increasing, and increasing. The Messenger Alayhi Salaam, he said, Amr ibn Suhayla, who is the companion, he says to him that, read the Quran for me, I want to listen to this Quran. Likewise, Imam Abu Hanifa, he would say about the Quran that the Quran has a right to be read twice in the whole year. You should complete the Quran at least twice in the whole year. The Messenger of Islam said to Ubay ibn Ka'b, recite the Quran once every month. Every month you should be doing the complete recitation of the Holy Quran. My brothers, we should be starting our days with the Quran. But the Messenger of Islam said, whoever reads Yasir, then Qudiyat Hawaijuhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all the needs for that person on that day. Whoever reads Yasir in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all the person's necessity and needs during the whole day, throughout the whole day. He shouldn't worry about anything. Now the problem today, my brothers, we started off in our home, we started off with watching television, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Qur'an al-Fajr kana mashhuda. The morning time is a very blessed time. We should try to be doing Islamic action rather than others do. Now just the last few points before I finish off is that we've come to this country and we've learned different stuff. You know, different people have gone into different businesses, different trades, and we've learned so much. We've learned to adapt into different cultures. But my brother, sorry to say that we forgot the Quran. A lot of people, they don't know how to read Quran. They learned everything else. They learned how to do business. They learned how to do trade. They learned how to fill their stomachs up, but they didn't learn the Quran. So then Allah has given us the ability, given us understanding, and most of all, given us the free time to learn the Quran. All this is from the sheer will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to do something, but Allah says no, then you cannot do it. But if you don't want to do something and Allah wants you to do something good, then you can do it. So you should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah grant us this tawfiq. This tawfiq is a very, you know, conclusive word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to do good actions. And also, the mention about the Quran, Al-Quran, Hujjatul Laka aw Alayk, that this Quran will either give a witness for you on the day of judgment or will give a witness against you on the day of judgment. The Messenger, just one last thing before we finish off. Naqi was the slave of Ibn Umar, who was the son of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, who was the second Khalifa, the second in charge after Abu Bakr. So Ibn Umar, someone asked Naqi about the lifestyle of Ibn Umar. He said, tell us about Ibn Umar. He was also the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, tell us about him. How was his life? He said, فَإِنَّكَ لَلْتَسْتَدِي. He said, I will tell you, but you will not be able to match this. You will not be able to be parallel to his life. He said that he would read his five prescribed prayers. He would do wudu for every prayer, and وَبَيْنَهُمَا قِرَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ, and between every prayer, all he would do would recite Quran. This being the month of Quran, I strongly recommend you to recite the Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa would recite 61 Quran in the whole month of Ramadan. One in the day, one in the night, and one in the Tarawih. Imam Shafi would recite 60 Quran in the day. Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahar Puri, Ramdullah Ali, a very big scholar, he was crazy about reading Quran in the month of Ramadan. For 10 years, he would be teaching Ahadith, he would be teaching other books, but when it came to Ramadan, all books were put onto the shelf, and the Quran would be brought down, and he would read Quran. But the Shaykh, being his disciple, once said to him that, don't read too much, that it's not good for your mind will go away. He said, I don't care if my mind goes or stays, but I can't leave the recitation of the Quran in this blessed month. But the Shaykh Zakariya, same thing, he would recite Quran all night. But the Nizamuddin, what he would do is, he would start his prayer, after Tarawih, he would start his own prayer, he would recite Quran until the Adhan of Fajr. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to first of all realize, understand his religion, number two, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen the Muslim Ummah once again to how we once were when the Muslims were really looked upon, when we even we had, you know, we were the best in society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us those times again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away all the oppressing leaders and give us just leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create love in all communities regardless of our different mentalities, background or origins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join with us again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our faith and give us all ability to act upon this religion. وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أرحم أمتي وأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم قيام لله وعمر وأصدقهم عيام عثمان وأفضاهم علي وفاطمة سيد النساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا اللهم الله في أصحابه لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.